Hey, I'll check out the audiobook of Lou Rockwell's Fascism Versus Capitalism, narrated by me, Scott Horton, at audible.com. It's a great collection of his essays and speeches on the important tradition of liberty. From medieval history to the Ron Paul Revolution, Rockwell blasts our status enemies, profiles our greatest libertarian heroes, and prescribes the path forward in the battle against Leviathan. Fascism Versus Capitalism by Lou Rockwell for audiobook. Find it at Audible, Amazon, iTunes, or just click in the right margin of my website at scotthorton.org. All right, y'all, welcome back. On the line, I got the news vandal. He vandalizes the news that is, explains what it is that they're not explaining in the news. Sometimes, when he writes articles. Like this great one at consortiumnews.com. Hillary Clinton's pay-for-play reality. And the reason I said the crack about the articles there is because he also sends out a mess of news stories every morning in, you know, the particular order of what he'd have you look at that I think is very valuable. The News Vandal, you can sign up for that at his website, newsvandal.com. Follow him on Twitter at News Vandal. And then, but then also the article's great. And this one, and I really mean that because, you really do cover your bases. You start writing an article and I'm not saying you go on and on and on too long, but I'm saying you really make sure to nail down the points you're trying to make with solid evidence and links to your sources in a way, in a way that I think is, impressive and very useful. So, yeah.
Well, thank you. I mean, I really don't want to just offer an opinion and let it hang out there. It's really about data. It's about information. It's about facts. And, you know, when you think about vandalizing the news, really often what happens with news articles is that there is all kinds of disparate information out there that never gets collated, never coalesces into a cohesive point. And that's one of the things that I like to do with my pieces. You know, just to be another opinion writer, it'd be great. I mean, it's fun, and I do have opinions. But I think it's really important to show people where the information is. And really, it comes down to one thing over and over and over again. If I write about the military-industrial complex, I write about the political-industrial complex, it's all about following the money.
Of course.
That's it. Right. I mean, it's quite simple. This is one of the fascinating things about this writing this piece is, you know, it starts with Lloyd Blankfein, who went on Squawk Box about a week ago, and that set off a whole thing where he said that this is a dangerous moment, you know, the Bernie Sanders campaign. Now, he didn't say Bernie Sanders specifically. He said another kid from Brooklyn. He said it's a dangerous moment because it could, you know, because America is sort of teetering on the brink of targeting Wall Street. But really what he was talking about, he went on to say, and, you know, everybody picked up on the dangerous moment, but what he was really concerned with was the end of political compromise in Washington, D.C. And that's what got my attention, because when I think of compromise in Washington, D.C., I think of, well, don't we have this, you know, much ballyhooed gridlock and Republicans and Democrats don't come together? Ah, but they do come together on a couple things. They come together on funding the military-industrial complex reliably, and they also seem to come together on protecting and paving the way for Wall Street. And that's what I thought was fascinating because, for example, you know, we have this current, I don't know what you would call this election cycle. It's a cluster something. And if you look, when you look at the data from opensecrets.org, you have the securities and investment industries so far have given $17.2 million to Hillary Clinton, and they've given $34.5 million to Jeb Bush. So you have a lot of people who are into hedging their bets and hedge funds. Well, that's really what the political system is, and it's that kind of compromise when you have one candidate who doesn't want Wall Street's money seemingly leading the Democratic side, and you have another candidate who doesn't need their money leading on the other.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what I always try to say is it's the moderate, so-called, the bipartisan, mushy middle that they are the real extremists when it comes to the interests of the American people. I mean, when it comes to the wars, they're even the radical revolutionaries, you know, if you look at Paul Wolfowitz and some of these guys want to the Ladin doctrine of create boiling cauldrons wherever you go and see what happens.
Well, right. What was that born out of? That's born out of, they're called Scoop Jackson Democrats, but really it's born out of the presidency of a Democrat, Woodrow Wilson. Yeah. And the doctrines of Woodrow Wilson that sort of carried forward all the way through into the 60s, and guys like Wolfowitz, who said that they were Democrats before they switched. Well, it's formed this, what we call neoconservatism, but really there's sort of a neocon left and a neocon right. There are neocons on both sides, and that's, you know, one of the things that I think makes Hillary Clinton so distasteful to a portion of her base. And I think, mm-hmm. Scott, this is a fascinating moment in both parties, because even though Rand Paul, look, he, you know, poor Rand. Poor Rand. He, you know, you don't launch.
Oh, he don't get any sympathy here, but go ahead.
But you don't launch your campaign as a libertarian alternative in front of a warship, for example. You just, you know, what are you going to do? It's, he tried to ameliorate the moderate middle, right? This is the problem. But inside the Republican Party, and I think one of the reasons why Donald Trump has gotten traction is because here you had a major Republican candidate criticizing the Iraq war over and over and over again. And on the other side, last night, Bernie Sanders going at Kissinger, that's the, if you want to call it a, and what is it, a dog whistle, the not so subtle sign to the Democratic base that this is a break with Democratic neoconservative foreign policy ideas.
Yeah. All right. So now, on Hillary Clinton, she's kind of the perfect example, as you say, of this kind of moderate middle. But, you know, what I think is probably, you know, because most criticism of her by far comes from the right, and, right. you know, some of that would be justified and other of it is, you know, completely ridiculous and beside the point and all that. And then there's partisan attacks on her on the left where it's pro-Sanders types really sniping at her, but they're more likely than not to miss the point since they have their own conflict of interest in explaining the truth here. But I wonder what you think is, you know, could you give us the highlights of which parts of her career you think that are most important for people to know in terms of the things she really did, either, you know, as during her husband's administration, if she had any influence there. Like, I know she, you know, argued for NAFTA and some bailouts and other things publicly. But then, of course, she's been a senator since 2001. She was a senator until 2009 and then was Secretary of State. So go ahead and enlighten the hell out of us, man, if you can.
Well, yeah, there are a number of ways to go. You know, in this piece, I focused on Goldman Sachs and the speaking fees, because that's the hot topic right now. I have another piece that I am working on, and I guess I'll just go ahead and let the cat out of the bag a little bit. I'm going to be talking about the rise of big box Democrats. And what does that mean? Well, you know, after Dukakis lost that incredible campaign moment when Susan Estridge put him in a tank and he looked like a bobblehead, and it, you know, that also the Willie Horton ad really sunk him. And there was a desire among Democrats, at least among the Democratic Leadership Council, which Bill Clinton was running, to shift toward a more business-friendly approach. Well, one of the interesting things about the Clintons is they hail from Arkansas, and the headquarters of Walmart is from Arkansas, and Hillary Clinton was on the board of Walmart before Bill Clinton became president. And interesting to note, you'll probably remember this because you, like me, are an old guy who's been following politics forever. In the lead up to the 1992 election, one of the hot topics was actually Tiananmen Square and China, mm-hmm. because the then Bush administration, Poppy Bush's administration, after Tiananmen Square happened, actually sent, I think it was Brent Scowcroft, over there to shake hands with the Chinese leadership. Of course, Herbert Walker Bush, who's sort of the Where's Waldo of post-war American foreign policy, was ambassador to China for a period of time during the Nixon administration, before going to the CIA and onward. This was a big issue, a bone of contention. And during that election, Bill Clinton promised he would promote the human rights of the Chinese people and would not extend most favored nation trading status to the Chinese. Well, Hillary left Walmart, Bill got elected, and Bill quickly changed his position. And guess what? MFN was a consistent policy throughout his presidency. And who benefited most from that, from the cheap labor of China? Walmart.
All right, hold it right there. We'll be right back with J.P. Sotilli, the News Vandal, newsvandal.com, right after this. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for MPV Engineering. This isn't for all of you, but for high-end contractors specializing in industrial construction and end users who own and operate industrial equipment, MPV offers licensed professional consulting on chemical and mechanical engineering for your projects. Tanks, pressure vessels, piping, heat exchangers, HVAC equipment, chemical reactors for oil companies or manufacturing facilities, as well as project management support and troubleshooting for those implementing designs. MPV will get your industrial project up and running. Head over to MPVEngineering.com. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new ebook by longtime Future Freedom author Scott McPherson, Freedom and Security, the Second Amendment and the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. This is the definitive principled case in favor of gun rights and against gun control. America is exceptional. Here the people come first, and we refuse to allow the state a monopoly on firearms. Our liberty depends on it. Get Scott McPherson's Freedom and Security, the Second Amendment and the Right to Keep and Bear Arms on Kindle at Amazon.com today. All right, kids, welcome back. I'm Scott. This is my show, Scott Horton Show, ScottHorton.org, Liberty Radio Network, etc., etc., Twitter, and all that. Okay. ConsortiumNews.com is where I found this article here. Hillary Clinton's Pay for Play Reality by J.P. Sotili, the News Vandal, NewsVandal.com. Sign up for his morning email. It'll help you out. Seriously, he does the work. Make it easy on you. So the article is about how Blank Fine went on TV and said, oh my God, can you imagine if, Sanders got up there? He's winger enough that he's, you know, outside the consensus enough that he might actually oppose a bailout or something like that. And we can't have that. And we're terrified. And so boy, do we support Hillary Clinton. I think he was more or less saying there, as though we didn't know that, but, good politics. On his part. Good self-awareness on his part coming out for Hillary like that right now. Just like John Kerry calling the Islamic State apostates. Oh, yeah, that's really a judgment call for you to make, Mr. Protestant. Anyway, point being that here you are writing about Hillary Clinton and her role in the economy, her role in the Iron Triangle system that is the Imperial Court of Washington, D.C. And you mentioned Walmart, and yeah. I'd like to stick up for the libertarians here. We are all very much against any restrictions on trade between people in foreign countries, but that does not necessarily mean we support any kind of fast-track deal for Bill Clinton to approve, any kind of shady deal that would certainly fall outside of what any libertarian would support. I mean, right off the bat, it includes all kinds of intellectual property and that. So we shouldn't conflate those things. We libertarians would be as opposed as you to those same deals, is what I'm trying to say.
Wouldn't you say that the issue is not that these are free trade deals, is that these are actually sweetheart deals in which government intervention actually facilitates the movement of capital, the shifting of labor markets. That's really the problem with a lot of these deals.
There is
a braid, as my co-host on my other show, which I'll be doing later today, Inside the Headlines, like to say, there's a braid between government and business that happens. So, you know,
no secret back then. I remember Bill Clinton saying, yes, we're implementing all these programs to promote globalization. Like, we will subsidize the cost of moving your company overseas. And if the locals come with pitchforks and torches and burn it down, we'll pay the cost of that. They had a whole thing. It was just like, you know, we'll guarantee your bank deposit, right? But it was, we'll guarantee your overseas, the U.S. government will guarantee your overseas investments. And these kinds of things, they never even mind. Of course, the Navy is providing free security at the average schmuck who lost his job's expense for all these companies to float all their goods back and forth all the time, huge cost.
You saw that piece I wrote about Mother Nature's invisible hand and the hydrocarbon economy.
Right.
If you look at the oil business, the hydrocarbon economy, as I like to call it, it's the most heavily subsidized business in the history of mankind. And one of the biggest parts of that subsidization, is the U.S. defense budget. I mean, why would the United States government put $500 million into upgrading facilities for the Fifth Fleet in Bahrain? Is it because the American people have a special relationship with the Bahraini people, or is it because that's how you protect the oil and gas industry's investments in the Middle East? It's, you know, it's very, very simple to get
back. And a good way to put it too, not America's investment there, but particular interests at the expense of the rest of us. Yeah,
that's right. Now back to Hillary. You know, this whole you know, moving on free trade, you know, she obviously supported NAFTA. You had her husband being against MFN and then for MFN. By the end of his administration, he is able to push through permanent MFN status. Walmart then becomes basically the biggest private employer in America and pushes out all kinds of small businesses, mom and pop businesses, they're often called. And not coincidentally is how I should say it. Now you have Walmarts closing around the country and leaving communities totally decimated because their access to goods and services has now been destroyed by Walmart, which is now leaving. So now where are they going to go shopping because all the mom and pop stores are gone? That's sort of like the way this kind of crony capitalism kind of works. But another
and of course
area,
they steal all the land. They use the local governments to use eminent domain to give them free land, and then of course all the tax abatements and whatever. The excuse for the eminent domain is, but they're going to pay so much more property taxes. But then no, they give them a sweetheart deal where no, they don't have to.
Yeah.
And then they're gone.
Let me give you another one. How about CAFTA? I confuse CAFTA sometimes with the Colombian Free Trade Agreement. You had the Colombian Free Trade Agreement. I think it was signed in 2006, but it wasn't getting approved, and it was an issue in the 2008 campaign. Hillary Clinton was against it, and then when she became Secretary of State, she was for it, and she helped catalyze its eventual approval. Well, interesting to note, there's a big Canadian mining magnate named Frank Giustra, and Frank Giustra had a lot of mining interests in Colombia. And lo and behold, guess what? He's also given tens of millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation and likes to fly around on his private jet with Bill Clinton. You know, David Sirota over at the International Business Times did amazing work on this. And there's another example. You know, anytime there's an opportunity to cut a deal or to pave the way for some corporate interests, whatever they might be, whether it's banking or otherwise, it seems that Hillary ends up on the other side of the issue from where she said she was initially. And this is one of those common triangulations that has made the Clinton name, the Clinton brand, very untrustworthy with a lot of voters. The untrustworthy numbers among Democratic voters in exit polling, particularly in New Hampshire, are striking, and I think a lot of it has to do with this general sense that people have that say one thing, do another. You know, ultimately, on all of these issues, and this is a point that I made in the piece, is that there really isn't an identifiable quid pro quo in Congress among Republicans and Democrats for all the money that's given to them. Really, the sad fact is people don't have to change their votes. They are simpatico from the get-go, and you can't say, well, X gave this gave $1 million to Y, and Y changed votes as a result. They never have to change their votes because their votes are already baked into the cake before it ever starts.
Yep, absolutely. In fact, her statement here that you quote is almost verbatim what Bill Clinton said in 1996 about the Chinese government's investment in his reelection. When he said, I don't think you can find any evidence of the fact that I changed any policy solely due to a campaign contribution.
Which is a very lawyerly thing.
Yeah, he doesn't have any confidence in your journalistic skills. That's it. He made himself clear. That's all. And he was talking to NBC and whatever, so he was right.
Oh, my. Yeah. Oh, my. Well, David, look, do you want to open up the whole Bernie Schwartz and Loral space and communication?
Hell yes.
Oh, come on. I mean, this is one of those things that just drives me up the wall, particularly since we had North Korea just happen, right? And now we're going to get the missile defense there. Well, missile defense was dying on the vine before Bernie Schwartz went over to China with Ron Brown, cut a deal to give the Chinese the gyroscopes that would allow their intercontinental ballistic missiles to finally actually cross the Pacific and hit the United States, which then all of a sudden became the predicate for refunding missile defense when missile defense looked like it was going the way of the dodo.
Yep. And in fact, they even gave James Riotti, the guy from the Lippo Bank, they gave his right-hand man the job in the Commerce Department of putting the stamp on the approval for the transfers after they stripped the authority away from defense and state and gave it to the Commerce Department.
And so, look, this
talk about direct quid pro quo. They didn't even have to do it that way, but they did.
Yeah. And this is a consistent pattern, And look, we're picking on the Clintons because here she is, she's running and Bill's up on the stage with her and whatnot. This is both sides. This happens on both sides. There's no doubt. I mean, we can go through both Bush administrations and we can find all kinds of examples. I mean, just
as you said, it's all baked into the whole thing. That's what Washington D.C. is. It's an imperial court.
Yep.
Limited republic here. This is the empire.
Which is why Trump and Sanders are getting the traction they're getting. I mean, no matter how distasteful Sanders' socialism is or Trump's, I don't know what you would call it, Trump's
demagoguery against
demagoguery
the weak.
Is, right. It's really the essential through line is that the American people are actually alive and kicking, and they're kicking back, and they're hitting back. They're finally – this is in many ways, I think, a referendum on the financial crisis, which is one of the greatest ripoffs in human history, and the Iraq War, which is another, financially speaking, one of the great ripoffs in American history.
Absolutely. Yeah, and of course, you know, the powers that be, we're in a real tough spot, too, where they're basically stuck literally with another Clinton and another Bush, which is just really bad marketing at this point. Like, we're tired. But that was really the best they had to put forward. So they found themselves screwed up here a little bit. I still don't think Sanders stands a chance against her in the long run, but... anyway, thanks very much, man. Sorry, we got to go.
Take care.
JP Sotillo, everybody, the News Vandal, ConsortiumNews.com. Hey, y'all, Scott here for Samurai Tech Academy at MasterSamuraiTech.com. Modern appliance repair requires true technicians who can troubleshoot their high-tech electronics. If you're young and looking to make some real money, or you've been at it a while and just need to keep your skills up to date, Samurai Tech Academy teaches it all. And they'll also show you the business, how to own and run your own. Take a free sample course to see how easily you can learn appliance repair from MasterSamuraiTech.com. Use coupon code Scott Horton for 10% off any course or set of courses at MasterSamuraiTech.com. Hey, all, Scott here. On average, how much do you think these interviews are worth to you? Of course, I've never charged for my archives in a dozen years of doing this, and I'm not about to start. But at Patreon.com/ScottHortonShow, you can name your own price to help support and make sure there's still new interviews to give away. So what do you think? 2 bits? A buck and a half? There are usually about 80 interviews per month, I guess, so take that into account. You can also cap the amount you'd be willing to spend in case things get out of hand around here. That's patreon.com/ScottHortonShow. And thanks, y'all. Hey, you own a business? Maybe we should consider advertising on the show. See if we can make a little bit of money. My email address is scott@scotthorton.org.